I call the fifth commandment the pivotal commandment. It hinges the first four commandments, which has to do with our worship and honor and respect and awe and reverence of the Creator, in that we don't put any God before Him, we don't use His name in vain, we honor the Sabbath, we don't engage ourselves in idol worship or anything like that. Those first four commandments are very important in establishing a relationship with Yahweh or with the Creator. The last six commandments have to do with family, with community, with a covenantal relationship, a covenantal relationship with the human creation. But the fifth commandment also has application to the Creator as well. He was the original parent of Adam and Eve. He created them. He was the one to whom they had to look and rely and trust, the one who instructed them, the one who created the environment into which they were placed. And thus, honoring one's mother and father is not a stretch at all when you apply it to us honoring the Creator as our parent. He is called the Heavenly Father. Makes sense. In very real sense, the problem that existed in the garden with Adam and Eve sinning, they also broke the fifth commandment in that they did dishonor their parent in not following the instructions and obeying what had been told to them. But the fifth commandment obviously then has application for you and me today. The problem with the fifth commandment is that there are some who are listening who have experienced bad parents. That is, parents who have been abusive, parents who have been neglectful, parents who certainly have been flawed in many ways. And some of you may have those memories, and sometimes you ask yourself, how in the world can I honor a parent like that? Well, the commandment exists in an ideal state. That is, we are to honor our parents in ways and in tangible ways that would signify that they have done the job that they are supposed to do. But there is not a qualifier on this commandment. This is an important point. There is no qualifier on this commandment that says, honor your parents as long as they do right. It's later in the New Testament that we find that the Apostle Paul took occasion to extrapolate, to expand our understanding on this commandment of honoring one's parents. He adds the caveat, in the Lord. We'll examine that when we get to the section in the New Testament that talks about honoring parents. But initially, there is no qualifier here. But one can logically reason that in the case of Adam and Eve, who certainly were disrespectful to God, who disobeyed God, who sinned, now, which of their children can you point to say, well, they went ahead of their parents and in essence dishonored them because they didn't follow in their footsteps? Well, Seth would be the answer. He was the righteous son who came in a replacement mode for Abel, the righteous son. Cain, on the other hand, was an unrighteous son who essentially followed in his parents' footsteps. One could argue, I guess, in a weak fashion that Cain honored his parents by following their example, but that would be foolishness, because the original parent, the Father, the Creator, and his Son, Jesus Christ, set the standard of behavior of what we should do, that we should honor and obey the Heavenly Father as well as our earthly parents. Let's examine this commandment thus to understand why it is important in expressing our allegiance to God and expressing our respect to God so that we will not fall prey to violating this commandment. In the 21st chapter and verse 15, we read, "And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Now, we live in an age and time when we read about the catastrophic events occurring in families throughout the world. Principally in the communities called the Western world, those under the Western influence. That's America, Canada, Australia, other places in that panoply of Western civilization. When we examine what has happened, that children are killing their parents at an alarming rate. It is staggering to recognize what is going on. Well, if we were in the Old Testament times, and some people would like to claim that they are practitioners of the Old Testament way, they believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They misunderstand, of course, what the Old Testament was truly all about, but because of the human existence, there was the possibility that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth would exist. It would kick into play, but there was an overriding merciful note that was sounded throughout the life of the Old Testament people, and that's something that we would get into in another broadcast. But for now, when we read a verse like this, "He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death," that is profound. Verse 17 continues to say, "And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." So this stipulation is right here for our consideration. This does not end the discussion, because throughout the Old Testament there are examples of individuals, children, dealing with their parents, sometimes successfully, sometimes unsuccessfully. And sometimes resulting in a literal death of the offending party, in this case, the children. Let us look further as we go through in the book of the law, the Pentateuch or the Torah. Let's turn now to Leviticus, the 19th chapter, as we enlarge our understanding about just what God had in mind and what he was conveying to the people regarding obeying parents. Now, obviously, I think he had something in mind relative to himself as the original parent. That was an important note, that there should be respect for father and mother, but that is beyond the point in one sense, because he literally had in mind the relationship between human beings in families. He knew that families is the building block, really, of a community, of a nation, and that it's important that care and attention be paid when dealing with that issue. And there would be a breakdown in society if there would not be the proper authoritarian train or authoritarian line, a response coming from child to parent. Let's read in Leviticus 19 and verse 3 this statement. It's interesting that at the first part of the verse, it says, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father." And it goes on to say, "And you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Here he connects the Sabbath's observance. That's multiple Sabbaths, not just the weekly Sabbath, but holy days as well. And you can find out more about those if you've not heard about it before by contacting us here at the Armor of God. We'll be glad to send you material on the subject of the Sabbaths. But our focus today is on reverencing mother and father. "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father," says Leviticus 19 and verse 3. In chapter 20 and verse 9, we continue with instruction here from God through Moses. This is chapter 20 and verse 9. It says, "If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him." Now, I don't know about you, but I've been out in the public. I've heard conversations, and especially on these sensational talk shows that occupy the airwaves in morning, noon, and night, it seems. Jerry Springer comes to mind, and other programs where we have parents with their children coming on, and the attitude that is displayed by the children towards the parents, and in many cases, the parents towards the children as well, you see clearly played out before us the breakdown of society. God here commands in the book of Leviticus that no one should curse his father or his mother. And cursing, the profanity that is used, that we see displayed in movies and in popular entertainment, is one thing, but also to curse them in a sense of wishing them ill, wishing the worst upon them, and somehow manipulating circumstances to make their lives miserable. This is a curse mechanism as well. And I suggest to you that in reviewing your life in relationship to the Ten Commandments, and specifically now the Fifth Commandment, how do you fare? How are you doing? How are you stacking up? Now, in popular culture, we have what we call Mother's Day and Father's Day, when we have a chance to set aside some time to respect and to pay homage to our parents. My mother always suggested to me that setting aside just one particular day of the year is really meaningless when you consider that there are 364 other days that perhaps you have ignored or put aside or not come to the aid of or given the respect and the honor that is due your parent. Now, this is not a program to castigate you, but to cause you to think, to see how important this commandment is for the society and for our relationship with God. God spent time illustrating to us the importance of keeping his commandments. As you break each one of them down, you can see that clearly. Now, over in the book of Deuteronomy, which is the second speaking or recitation of the commandments, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16 is a repetition of the command that we read in Exodus 20. Here is how it reads. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Notice what Moses repeats here. The New Testament tells us that this is the first commandment with promise, the first commandment that had a promise attached to it. If you obey it, here's what you can receive. It says, your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land or in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So once they had arrived at the promised land, if they were obedient to this command, God promises them long life and that things would go well with them. One has to ask the question, because the observation is that once they got into the land, they were rising and falling all the time. They were in sin and out of sin. One has to imagine that one of the commands that they broke frequently had to do with this fifth commandment of honoring their father and mother. And why is that important? Well, right here in the book of Deuteronomy, let's look at verse 16. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 10. It says, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, or houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns, fountains, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and be satisfied. Then watch yourselves, lest you forget the Lord your who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods. It makes all of this stipulation, but preceding these verses I've just read to you comes the very famous Shema. This is the expression that the Jews still use today in their worship in relative to God. Hear, O Israel. This is in verse 4. And let us obtain some wisdom here. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the very verse that Jesus Christ referred to in Matthew 22 when asked by the lawyer, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus Christ quoted this very verse in addition to a verse in the book of Leviticus to stipulate how the Ten Commandments are broken into two categories. The first four applying directly to the Father, to God the Creator. The second six, or the last half of the commandments, the six that follow, apply to relationships within society, within families, within community, and both are covenantal relationships. Now, in the context of elevating the commandments to this important level, and understanding that God was going to grant them peace and safety and plenty in the land, look at what verse 6 says. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Now he's talking to the adults. He says to them in verse 7, "And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Do you get a picture here? A result of having parents who are this fastidious, who are this instructive and this caring about teaching their children the whys and wherefores of life, teaching them the principles of life, teaching them how to honor and respect God, so that in turn the child will come to honor and respect the first gods they were exposed to, that being the parents. You see how it's all connected? If we are to honor our parents, we honor them for the lives they have lived, for the good they have done, for the submission that they have shown to you relative to their submission to the will of God. And when you see that as a child growing up, it's natural then that you can honor and respect and reverence your parents. So parents have a responsibility. They have a task. They have a job to do. And this is one of the reasons this commandment needs to be gleaned and studied and absorbed and cogitated upon and meditated upon so that we can improve our society. One of the questions that we often ask is, how is it that we have gone so awry in the world in which we live? How is it that things have gotten so bad and gone so poorly? One of the reasons is the very breakdown in the family relationship, where familial activity has degenerated. Now, if you're doing well in your home, if you're teaching your children correctly so that they will rise up later and call you blessed and honor and respect you, great. But maybe, just maybe, some of us have not had the kind of relationship with our children, nor we as children to our parents can we exalt. Then we need to review this commandment and come to understand it much better than we've ever understood it. Now, let me share some other thoughts with you relative to this powerful commandment. You know, the fifth commandment, to honor one's parents, involves some of the following things. It involves prizing them highly. It's very much like prizing wisdom. Prizing parents highly when sought above everything else and prized more highly than all else. Having a good relationship with father and mother. I could regale you with stories of my mother in particular. My mother and father were divorced at an early age for me. I came to know my father much better later in life and gained a great deal of respect for him for what he had achieved in life with minimal education. Was his own businessman who set a standard in the community in which he resided. He was respected by those within and without the business. My mother, on the other hand, had a struggle on her hands, but seeing her struggle and seeing her overcome so many difficulties and paving a way for me and always being a God-fearing parent, it's relatively easy to honor and respect her, respect my father for that matter. But that's not easily said for all of us. Prizing parents highly when they have been less than honorable is a difficult notion. The New Testament talks a little bit about that, and we'll get into it before we're out of the program for today. A second, shall we say, gift that comes when we are honoring our parents is caring and showing affection for them. You know, we in many ways live in a society that is emotionalist. We don't like to show or demonstrate our affection for one another. I suppose it's overkill for when the Mother's Day cycle comes around and we do it less for fathers than we do for mothers. The phone lines are tied up. It's hard to get through to make a call. Certainly the florist and card business does a landmark business on those days. But is that enough of showing and caring and showing affection? I suggest that we should do this more often, because if we as grown-ups do it to our parents, if we are blessed to still have them in the land of the living, as we say, then our children are going to be able to observe our conduct and emulate it. they will be able to use it as an example, as a template in their own lives for achieving this commandment, because the commandment has great promise. Another thing that we acquire when we honor our parents is that we show respect, fear, or revering them. I read to you in Leviticus 19 and verse 3 how we should respect them and how we should honor them. So when we get to the New Testament, let's turn over now to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, where Paul takes an occasion to talk not only about this issue of parents and their children, but he precedes it by talking about the marital relationship between husband and wife and how it is a picture of the relationship with Jesus Christ and the church. Well, then when we understand that the church is the body of Christ and that there are children of God and that there's a familial relationship, it's not hard to understand chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians and verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 2 says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." And what was the promise? That your days would be long upon the land, and that things would go well once you have come into the land to which God was taking them and to which he was giving them. That's an interesting note by the Apostle Paul, but he follows right along to show the connection between honoring a parent and a parent being honorable. In verse 4 it says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Note that. Continuing and making an examination of Ephesians 6, it says, "Obey your parents." It immediately and necessarily qualifies it with the phrase, "in the Lord." Parents are to show honor, are to be shown honor, and nowhere in their word is their word to rival or to be a substitute for God. Some have taught that parents are a substitute for God, and early in our existence on the earth, when we are first born and trying to learn everything that we can and grow up and all of that and be nurtured by them, that they are viewed as gods in one sense. Well, in one sense that may be true, but they are never replacements for God. In fact, what we read in Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, is that they are to instruct their children. The parents are to instruct their children in the ways in which they should live and how they should live so that they in turn will honor their parents and also honor the Creator God, the Father of all human beings. That is an important notion. It is interconnected. You can't separate the two. So when we simply like to honor God and dishonor our parents, we break the commandments. We are at fault, and we need to review how we do that. Now, continuing in Paul's writings, let's turn over to Colossians, the third chapter, where Paul has something else to say about this issue of parents. Chapter 3 and verse 20 of the book of Colossians says the following, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." In his writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Obey your parents in the Lord." Now, this is instruction that comes in the environment of the new covenant, in the environment of living as followers of Christ and practicing the things that he would have us do. So if parents are God-fearing, great. That's an excellent notion. If they are not, how do you apply this verse? For instance, we know that there are some parents who, in many inner-city situations, not just inner-city, but out in the country as well, who are engaged in illegal activity. I could mention some of the more famous Italian families that you would recognize, even one gentleman doing a life sentence and his son recently arrested, the Gotti family. We could talk about that, but they're not the worst. We can go all the way back in history, American history, and see how families and the expectation of sons coming along, the whole Godfather saga talks about that particular situation. But in our own homes, in our own situation, some of us have memories of our parents being less than stellar. Some of them maybe dealt in drugs. Some of them were moonshiners. Some of them broke and violated all kinds of laws and all kinds of situations. How do you honor someone like that? Well, the answer is relatively simple. When you honor them in the Lord, you do not honor them in sin. You do not honor them in going astray and doing wrong things. You honor them in right things. It says in this particular passage of the book of Colossians, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." If they are asking you to do something against the law or to break God's commandments, you need not honor them in that way. But where you can honor them in right things, in being obedient in right things, that is something that you're required to do by the commandments. And finally, today, I want to turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, for in this particular prophetic note by the Apostle Paul, as he recites this letter to young Timothy, he makes a profound judgment. He says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, he talks about the last days being difficult times. There's no question that we're living in the last days, which are difficult. It says, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, and disobedient to parents, ungrateful and unholy." And we have come to such a time. The gist of the program today, then, is to cause our attention to be drawn to the fact that we can change the society, we can change the way we do things, if we just took an honest, long look at the fifth commandment and maybe review how we have a bad relationship with our own parents or how we can better produce a better relationship with our own children so that this command, the fifth command, can be honored. I just wanted to share with you the offer for today's program. We have two items today. One is a brochure entitled Bending the Twig. It's about parenting. And I think it's important that we as parents learn how to instill within our children a reverence and respect for God and for His law, and thus it can also be transferred to us. We can bask in the glow of it. In addition to that, the tape entitled Jesus and the Law.